Hello, and welcome to the Addicted Austenite, your one-stop podcast for all things Jane Austen. In this episode, we're looking at all of the rejection that occurs in Persuasion. The refusal of marriage is a common topic in Jane Austen stories. Each of her six main novels contain at least one instance of rejection. Lizzie Bennet gets two to herself, but Persuasion takes this idea a step further. Anne Elliot is a unique Jane Austen heroine in a lot of ways. She's the oldest by a biggish margin. She's in her late 20s, as opposed to the others who are all sort of early 20s, late teens. She's also the only one to have a connection with her hero before the story starts, or sort of before the writing starts. I mean, technically Fanny Price has known Edmund Bertram her whole life, but we see all that within the writing. We see their initial meeting and their relationship develop with Anne and Captain Wentworth. It's all happened before Persuasion actually starts. And finally, and most importantly for this episode, Anne is the heroine who has the most varied and lengthy experience with courtship, proposals, and rejection. We have already had a little look at courtship, etc., way back in our episodes about Sense and Sensibility, because of Edward Ferrars's crazy moral obligation to Lucy Steele. But Persuasion gives us even more examples to look at and discuss. And interestingly, in the chronology of Anne's life, not to be confused with the chronology of when events are revealed to us during the story, each of the romantic, shall we say, situations goes less far than the one before it, right up until the final proposal and Anne's happy ending. There are three main romantic partners for Anne, and we're going to have a look at them now, one by one. So Anne's first relationship is when she is 19, and this is a relationship with our hero, Captain, though not at the time, Wentworth. There was no doubt that the couple loved each other, and eventually they actually got to the point of being engaged. Unfortunately, we all know how that ended. Anne's family and friends do not think that Wentworth is a suitable partner for Anne, particularly Lady Russell. Honestly, I don't think that Sir Walter cared all that much about Anne, but knew Wentworth wouldn't do the family's reputation any good. But it is an important point. A lot of people think that Anne and Wentworth were only courting before the story started and that she rejected his proposal, but in fact it was more serious than that and she actually broke off their engagement. As we saw with Edward Ferrars in Sense and Sensibility, engagements were taken very seriously in the Georgian era, and men could actually be sued for a breach of contract if they ended an engagement. But luckily for Anne, in this case, women were not beholden to the same rules. As with anything romantic at this time, the men were the only ones who could commence anything, but it was women who were the ones with the right to refusal. And we thought women had none of their own agency. This meant that, aside from broken hearts, Anne didn't have to fear any repercussions for breaking her engagement. Much like Jane herself, actually, when she accepted then refused Harris Bigwither. It is clear from Anne's behaviour throughout the novel that she loved Wentworth then, and still does. So why did she break it off with him? Well, we know that Lady Russell had a major hand in it, but it may not have just been youth and inexperience that let Anne be persuaded. You see, Anne was only 19 at the time of getting engaged to Wentworth. And though marriage law was changing, because Anne was under 21 years of age, she still needed her parents' permission to marry. We know that Sir Walter wouldn't consent to Anne and Wentworth marrying if it came to it. So perhaps, and this is a little headcanon that I have myself and that I like, perhaps Anne thought that the embarrassment of her leaving Wentworth and breaking the engagement would be less than the embarrassment of her father putting an end to it at the last minute and stepping in, forcing them, of course, then to elope if they did want to marry, which would certainly have marred Wentworth's reputation. Although she doesn't go into as much detail or in the moment description of the break of the engagement, Jane's inclusion of this event in Persuasion is indicative of a societal change that was happening in the Georgian era, though it was happening most rapidly in the Regency. During Jane's time, it was becoming more popular, well, at least more acceptable, should we say, for engagements to be broken off. The 1700s and 1800s were a time of great marital reform, including the parental consent thing that I mentioned earlier. And suing for a breach of contract for a broken engagement was becoming a fairly rare occurrence, and so it was becoming more acceptable to break an engagement rather than risk a lifetime of misery, or even more unacceptably, divorce. So, that was bachelor number one. Let's move on to the next contestant, Charles Musgrove. When we are introduced to Charles Musgrove, he is married to Mary Elliott, Anne's sister. But as it is later revealed, that wasn't always his original intent. We find out that Charles actually proposed to Anne first. This time, Anne doesn't accept the proposal. She doesn't go that far. For anybody else, of course, this would be a big move, like Lizzie refusing Mr. Darcy the first time. But as we've seen, this is just small potatoes to Anne. So, this time, really, Jane isn't using this proposal to make a statement about the changing social attitudes. This time she's using it to show how everyone is assuming that Anne's decisions about her future are being made for her, predominantly by Lady Russell, who of course, ironically, didn't actually have anything to do with Anne's refusing Charles and really wanted the opposite to happen. What Jane is showing us here is that as much as things change, people will hold on to their old ways. The example here, of course, is that women's roles are changing and there is more that they can do. But really, at the end of the day, it's not them that's calling the shots. It's everybody behind the scenes. The woman has the illusion of power, but doesn't actually yield it. And people to this day try and say that about Jane. She was a good author, she was brilliant, no doubt about it, but it was really her brothers, particularly Henry, who were responsible for her success. Not so much the march of progress as the tiptoeing of progress, maybe. So thank you, bachelor number two. And now we come to the third romantic encounter, the penultimate man to try for Anne's affection, or last, if you consider Wentworth's just one long attempt, is William Elliot. William really takes a shine to Anne once they get to Bath. They had met in Lyme Regis before he turns up while they're there, but he's only there briefly. So once they get to Bath, that's when he really starts paying her attention. His intentions towards Anne are pretty clear to everyone, though Anne is still mostly focused on Captain Wentworth, so she doesn't see him as a viable option, per se. William doesn't get to a proposal in the end. As I said, the decreasing severity of these romantic encounters as they go along. So he doesn't get to this proposal, though again, everybody knew where this was heading, and Anne is aware of that herself, but luckily she gets the real lowdown on William from her friend and is able to sidestep that relationship and put a stop to it. The really interesting thing, though, about William's attempt to woo Anne, as it were, is that he also had a missed chance with her earlier. Only this time it wasn't Anne's fault, in inverted commas, that it failed. It turns out that William Elliot had been given a chance to marry an Elliot girl years before, but instead of chasing Anne, he instead goes after her beautiful sister Elizabeth, though of course nothing comes of it because William marries somebody with a lot more wealth, and this is what causes the divide and the big reason why they weren't talking to each other at the start of the novel. And after William Elliot's pseudo attempt at a proposal, we finally get to the main event and Captain Wentworth proposes again. He realises that he's been in love with Anne ever since they broke it off before, and that perhaps she does too. He's finally starting to believe that, and so he proposes again, and of course Anne accepts. And this is where Jane is really making her point in Persuasion. Up to this proposal, the second one from Captain Wentworth, every relationship Anne has had failed because more than just love and happiness was wanted out of that relationship. With Captain Wentworth's first proposal, it's her family who want money and status out of a marriage with Anne, which of course leads to an epic fail. With Charles Musgrove, he wanted a wife who was subservient and compliant, as Anne seemed to be, because she was quiet and she was helpful and she got on with things, rather the contrast to her sister Mary, the hypochondriac. But of course, that's too high an expectation, and the relationship fails again. And finally, William Elliot wants family ties, basically. There are other things that persuade, as it were, his decision, but he wants to get with Anne essentially so that he can build bridges and reconnect with the family that he cut off, essentially, when he married someone else. And of course, all of these relationships are doomed, because it's only once Anne can finally say, "I don't care what anyone else wants, I just want to be happy," that is when she finally gets the relationship that works. Once she is going into a marriage purely for love and for happiness, that is when she finally succeeds. And this idea of marriage for love is a theme that Jane always champions in her stories. And for me at least, Persuasion is the pinnacle of all her romantic ideals, despite it containing more rejections than any of her other stories. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of The Addicted Austenite. I hope you've enjoyed it. If you have, please do like it and share it, subscribe and all that lovely stuff that we podcasters love. Comments, of course, are appreciated as well. I'm on Facebook and Twitter as Kath Price Author. I will see you next time for a new episode, and in the meantime, happy reading. Your faithful servant, the author.